It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we discuss and talk about the very latest in property news every morning. And you'll hear us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And we know that investing in real estate can be a powerful strategy to help set up a comfortable retirement, potentially allowing you to retire early. And who doesn't want to retire early? Unlike traditional retirement plans, real estate really does offer the advantage, doesn't it, of generating passive income through rental yields while also benefiting from property appreciation over time. And by strategically investing in properties that generate consistent rental income and appreciation in value, you can build a portfolio that provides financial security and flexibility when it comes to your retirement. At least that is the dream, the hope, and the aspirations of many of us who want to retire early and be young enough to enjoy life. And that is the key thing. Because I know, as you do, so many of our mums, our dads, our uncles, our aunts, our granddad, our grandma, they retire, and what happens? They're dead within 2 or 3 years. So we don't want that to happen to you. So why is it hard to achieve? Well, joining us this morning is somebody that might have a few clues. His name is Daniel Walsh from Your Property, Your Wealth, which is a buyer's agency based in Sydney. And good morning to you, Daniel. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, 6 principles to retire younger and richer. The reason I mention 6 principles to retire younger and richer is that this is a book that you have written. Tell me, what made you want to write the book?
To me, I wanted to write a legacy book, so something that would stand the test of time when I'm not here. But I also wanted to pass on the principles that I use to build my wealth to my family, my friends, and people that followed me. So I think that a lot of people these days, they look at the outcome, how much somebody is worth or how they got to where they were. But I think it's really ideally you need to look at what did they do? What was the habits? What were the rituals? What were the beliefs that they had? So to me, it was about the 6 principles that got me to where I am to retire younger and richer. And that's what I want to share with everyone.
Well, it's a good one because it's not like you've got 20 points under double digits. So let's cover some of these. What are some of the specific strategies or investments that people can use, do you think, to help contribute to their wealth accumulation?
Yeah, I think if we start off with what the 5 stages of money success is. So I've written down the 5 stages. The 5 stages are: number one, you want to make money. Number 2, you want to save money. Number 3, invest money. 4, multiply money. And then maintain money. So you need to go through the 5 stages of wealth. If you want to build wealth, you need to understand all of them. So it starts off with your active income, which is making money. Then you have to actually save something that you make. Then you have to look to invest what you've saved. And then once you invested it, you want to wait over maybe 10 years, 20 years to multiply that money. And then the last stage of building wealth is actually maintaining money, which can be the hardest part. As we see, most people lose their wealth within 2 or 3 generations. So maintaining money once you've got it is probably the hardest part of it all.
Yes, we've all lost money over the years, that's for sure. And you mentioned in your book the importance of surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals. Now, this is really so important. So how important do you think it is for people to network and get that mentoring to help them achieve financial success?
It's extremely important. Who you hang around is who you become. So if the person that you're hanging around is positive, if the person you're hanging around or the people you're hanging around are trying to better themselves every single day, then you're going to be the 5th person or 6th person in that group to also be doing the exact same thing. So the way I liken it to is you know, it's like a thermostat, essentially. Your, you know, five core friends or people that are around you that influence you, they all have a thermostat and it's set to a certain temperature. So how much they're trying to achieve in life. And if they're trying to achieve a lot more than you, their thermostat, the temperature would be a lot hotter, a lot higher, right? They're doing a lot more. And therefore, you hanging around with them, naturally, you will start to lift your thermostat, your temperature to their temperature, just by naturally being in their presence. So it allows you, I guess, to rub off what they're doing to you so that you change your habits, your rituals in a daily basis. And if you do something consistently enough, like your habits have changed for the better, and you consistently do that because of the people you hang around, well, you're probably going to get a better outcome over the next couple of years because of the people that you're sitting with, essentially.
So who were you hanging around with at the time, and where did you get your mentoring from?
So this is actually one of the best things about it, right? In today's world, it's very different to what it used to be 20, 30 years ago. You know, the people you hang around had to be literally in your presence, or they had to, be in your neighborhood because you would want to hang around them. For me, I used to drive freight trains, so I used to listen to a lot of podcasts. I used to have mentors that I would pay. So for one, mentors that I paid, they're the people I wanted to hang around that were better than me, that knew something that I needed to know. But also, I think, you know, podcasts, YouTube, there's billionaires on YouTube that are talking about how to build wealth and the mindset that you need. I think when you do that, you can actually create your own friendship with these people without ever knowing them, essentially. And that can change your perception on how to build wealth, and also the perception of not being stuck with the middle class mindset, which is what most people do. You know, they hang out on the Friday night, they hang out on the Saturday night with their friends and family, and they have the middle class mindset. However, you know, for me, I was, you know, more so looking at podcasts. I was more so looking at YouTube, and also then paying mentors to make sure that I had my mindset correct to be able to achieve what I wanted.
Now, I just want to come back to something that you said, because it's painted the picture. Daniel driving a freight train, listening to podcasts. Tell us a little bit about the freight train driving.
Yeah, so I drove freight trains from the age of 20, 21, all the way until I was about 28. I used to drive them out of Sydney, used to drive them regional, and pick up all the wheat out at like Cootamundra, Junee, and take it to the ports of Wollongong to be exported. So yeah, I used to listen to a lot of podcasts because I would spend 10, 12 hours driving, and there's not much to do when you're looking at the outback. So I would listen to podcasts and I would learn. I would always be focusing on education and how I could better myself so that I could get myself out of the situation of driving freight trains.
Okay. All right. Well, that's very interesting to know. And how about elaborating on how you've effectively leveraged debt to grow your wealth and create additional income streams?
Yeah, I recognized very early on what the government was doing, and the governments were essentially debasing currencies, which that meant when I was younger, I knew that if I attached myself to more debt, that the debt would devalue over time and that my assets would go up in value. So it's not that the assets were going up in value because, you know, they were better. It's the fact that the currency was losing value over the past 15 years of me investing. And I understood that at a very young age. So I figured if that's the government's game and the RBA's game of printing money and devaluing everyone's wealth, like the middle class feeling like they're getting poorer, I would do what they were doing, which is attaching myself to debt. I would let it devalue. And then I would wait, 5, 10, 15 years. I would wait the necessary time. My rents would increase so that I could create additional income, but also be able to create equity that I could continue to move to multiple properties over time.
Mm, okay. And we should really touch on risk management, because it's a critical aspect of investing, of course. So what are some specific strategies or principles that people can follow to assess and, I guess, mitigate risks in their investment portfolio?
One of the biggest things is start small, right? Like when you are going to start investing, don't go buy a $1.5 million property to invest in. Maybe you start with a smaller investment. You diversify multiple investments that are smaller. So instead of buying the $1.5 million home, you might go buy two houses for $750 each, for example. You diversify across multiple income streams. You diversify the risk from a vacancy perspective, but you can also, you know, reduce your risk by making sure you have emergency funds in place. So as I built my portfolio, I would always make sure I had emergency funds, whether that was cash savings or whether, you know, I would release some of the equity against some of the assets that I had, and I would just sit it aside. And essentially I'd have an emergency fund that was paid for by my own properties. I was always focused on how can I get my properties to pay for my lifestyle, but how could I also get the properties to be self-sufficient even in the early days? And I used to use equity to do that.
All right. And the importance of patience and persistence when you're building a property portfolio, not that easy to do. So perhaps a little bit of advice for listeners around all of that, having the patience and the persistence to, you know, get your portfolio up and running.
Yeah, I think in today's world with Instagram and everything, you know, people want everything quick. They want quick wins. The biggest thing that I know is when you want to create wealth, you have to be able to do something that's repeatable. You know, you can't just have a quick win and then that's it. You have to be able to work long term at the instrument of building wealth that you choose. So for me, building wealth through property, I knew it was going to take a long time. So I had to be very consistent in what I did, and I had to be persistent. You're going to go through a lot of trials and tribulations. You're going to go through a lot of things that can go wrong. You're going to also hear a lot of noise in the news talking about why you should invest, why you shouldn't invest, how the world's going to fall apart. And that is something you have to deal with as well. But if you look at something from a long-term perspective, you reduce your risk, right? Like if I'm investing for 5 years, my risk is a lot higher than if I'm investing with the outlook of 10 to 15 or 20 years. I think the biggest key as well is actually identifying, do you want to be an investor? So if somebody said to me, you know, who are you? How do you make money? How do you build wealth? I would identify myself as a property investor. Whereas I think a lot of people are sort of in and out. They don't identify themselves as property investors. They just want to invest in property to get a quick win. Whereas I'm here for 30, 40, 50 years. And the longer term outlook that I have, the less likely I'm going to have any risk because I have the time on my side to be able to create wealth.
All right. So that is Daniel. And if you are a train driver and you're into property thinking, gee, I'd like to get off the seat and into my own portfolio, Daniel has done it. So he's your guiding light. Good on you, Daniel. Thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning, and enjoy your day.
No worries, mate. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
If you're serious about real estate, we're serious about delivering the most comprehensive property information every week. Remember, we're not a real estate company. We are 100% all about increasing your awareness and knowledge for buying and selling properties.
But if you look at the middle sector at the moment, that's really starting to heat up, and you're starting to see properties in that sort of $1 million to $2 million range get snapped up very quickly within sort of 3 to 7 days from the stuff that I've been looking at.
One of the things that you like to do is get out of Perth from time to time. You mentioned that you did this recent trip to Sydney where you met with major buyers agencies. What's their sentiment towards the Perth property market at the moment, and what investment advice are they offering their clients at the moment?
They're focused a lot more in Sydney, especially on owner-occupier buyer's agency work. They're not doing a lot of investment stuff, certainly not with local investors, given the price points. And when I asked them where they're suggesting that their clients purchase, one of them actually has an office in Sydney and Brisbane, and he was suggesting Perth over Brisbane, just given it's where he feels it sits in its current cycle.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights. We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast. We'll be right back.